Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting you ready for pro football's ultimate matchup.
Give us a taste.
Mac has a noodle arm.
Ooh, buddy.
This is a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
I got hit in the head with the tortilla.
Yikes!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, or youtube.com/1080AMTheFan. Party on, party people on the YouTube stream. We got a lot that we need to get to, including what to make of the most recent report of where Ohio State may be looking to fill their offensive coordinator role. Yeah, Super Bowl Licks is happening on Sunday.
What is it?
Super Bowl Licks.
Licks?
Yeah.
What's that?
59.
Mm.
L-I-X.
Oh, Licks.
Yeah, Super Bowl Licks.
Okay, I thought you were talking about like some kind of after party.
No. But.
Only for the winners.
Only for the winners.
Sprinkles, well, the losers, sprinkles and licks get for winners.
Losers can lick their wounds.
Ooh.
So maybe get that going for you. I'm excited for this. As we're getting closer, I think it's going to be a good game. I can't wait to start actually breaking this game down. But I was reminded today, I was watching, what's that show called? Good Morning Football. You ever watch that? NFL Network?
I do.
I'll watch a little bit of, because it turned on the TV because I was watching the opening night last night. We'll have audio from that, too. Fun with audio. Opening night of Super Bowl Licks. But they were saying, we've had so many good Super Bowls over the last handful of years. Do you remember, we used to have clunkers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
I remember Patriots-Packers was.
Yep, that one got out of hand.
That one got out of hand real quick.
That one got out of hand. Well, like, and if you want to look, I mean, we had 55-10, the Niners beat the Broncos in 1990.
Yeah.
Right? You had 52-17, the Cowboys over the Bills. 49-26, the 49ers over the Chargers. We've had some stinkers. Ravens beat the Giants 34-7. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a just absolute turd fest. The Buccaneers beating the Raiders 48-21 because they knew all of their plays offensively.
I prefer to ignore that one.
Yeah, but we've had some good ones. 25-22 overtime, 38-35 before that. Well, the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl, 23-20. The Buccaneers beating the brakes off
mopped the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. The Chiefs beating the Niners. That one got away late. Mm-hmm. 13-3 was a close game, but
God, it was
watching
awful.
Paint dry with the Patriots beating the Rams. I mean, we've had some good games, dramatic games even.
I mean, Patriots-Falcons, 28-3.
Yeah, dude. In that first overtime game.
Whoa.
Think about that. It was, that game was Super Bowl 51, and there was 50 prior Super Bowls in no overtime games. That was the first one. We are in Super Bowl 58 last year, and we've now had two overtime games. These games
crazy.
Are really good.
Yeah,
lately I think this is going to be another great one.
I do too. I don't. What's the over on this? Was it 48?
I thought it was 47.5 was the last I checked. Yeah, I can hop in. I'll hop in DraftKings right now for you.
I'll
find that right now.
I feel like it's going to be the under.
Do you think I could see that?
I think it's. It, if you're giving me 47.5, I think I'm going to take the under.
Mm.
I don't.
48.5 now.
48.5. Yeah, people are probably betting the. I think it opened at 46.5.
Points.
I think it's been bet up quite a bit just because I think people are taking the under because you do have a very, very, very good defense in the Eagles and a team that runs the living bejesus out of the ball.
See, I think that we also get caught up, and a lot of people are looking at the last time these two teams played, which is just a couple of years ago, but that was a 38-35 game. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had
two totally different teams.
73 points, but two wildly different teams in the way that they're constructed. And you also look at the fact that, let's see here, back when that game happened, the scoring defense heading into that game in the 2022 Super Bowl, Philly was the 10th best defense. Kansas City was the 21st best defense in the NFL.
They were not. They were two teams that were built heavily on the offensive side of the ball.
This year, they are second and 13th. In 2022, it was the number one offense versus the number three offense. Mm-hmm. It is now number 8 versus number 10. So, I mean, the defenses have both gotten better.
Way better.
And the offenses are still really damn good, but they've taken a step back. And, oh, by the way, the Eagles run the damn ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's a major difference in the past that, you know, if you were able to get them out of what they wanted to do, they could run the ball okay, but it wasn't Gainwell. It's Saquon Barkley. Mm. Like, there's a significant difference of trying to contain one guy over the other.
Yeah. All right. You know, we're already talking this game, and I like that.
All right.
Cooper Kupp yesterday signaled he's going to be traded.
Yeah, and he ain't happy about it.
No, and I don't blame him because they got the new hot sexy. They're like, hey, we hit that little bit of an upgrade button where he's a little bit stronger,
upgrade,
a little bit bigger, a little bit faster in Puka Nacua.
And not as injury prone.
And not as expensive right now.
Yeah.
But what Cooper Kupp tweeted out yesterday is that the Rams are going to deal him off. And he is available and on the trade market. And they've let him know they're going to shop him. That is something that you don't see very often.
Hmm.
And right now, especially the timing of it, we had Myles Garrett say he demanded a trade from the Cleveland Browns yesterday. And then on the same day, you have Cooper Kupp saying, I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in L.A. Still, if there's one thing that I've learned over the years, there are so many things that are out of your control, but it's how you respond to these things that you can look back on and remember. I've taken much pride in playing alongside my teammates in L.A. and in the community. So thank you for embracing my family and making this such a special place. 2024 began with the best training camp of my career. Preparations now start for 2025. Highly motivated, as healthy as ever, and looking forward to playing elite football for years to come. Love you guys.
Shout out my man working on his routes in his backyard in Wilsonville.
He sold that house, I think.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think he lives here anymore.
That's a bummer. Is he back in Yakima?
I don't know. Maybe he should move back to Wilsonville. The things were going great for him when he was here.
Nice little spot on the river.
Hells yeah.
He's a nice guy.
But that is a big name that's on the market.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't come with a sweetheart of a deal by any stretch of the
imagination. $20 million. It's 40 total.
And you're going to be paying freight to get him.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be paying that salary.
Does this mean, though, that the Rams are out of F them picks and they're now, we want them F and picks? Because they've been doing really good drafting, guys.
Yeah, I think that this is a, can we get a second or third round pick for Cooper Kupp? I think that's 100% what they're trying to do is that Matthew Stafford is going to come back. And you saw when they had some semblance of a team, they could give everyone fits.
No doubt about it.
Are they a Super Bowl contender? No, but can you continue to build? That defense is getting nastier and nastier every year, and they may be shifting into a team that's more defensive-oriented as Stafford ages out, and then they start recycling those picks back over to the offensive side of the ball, and that's what just kind of keeps this cycle going.
Well, and look, make no mistake about it, Matthew Stafford saying he's going to run it back, that has big implications on their ability to keep Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to get a really damn good one. And he would, again, we mentioned this with Myles Garrett, and this is always when you have a good young quarterback. Yeah, this is where you want to make this move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is you have a good young quarterback who needs a receiver, needs a target.
Hey, Patriots could go grab Cooper Kupp and help Drake May and keep him upright.
Look, if you're talking about systems that he would thrive in,
mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury's in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton's in Denver. Where you give Bo Nix a legitimate, bona fide
slot receiver.
Yeah. Where everything is short to deep. You have a guy who you want to call him a check down quarterback in Bo Nix. Yeah, I give him a great check down target. All right, well, you could take that. New England,
The Patriots don't have a token white right now, do they?
No.
See, that's what you're missing.
No.
It would reunite him with Kendrick Bourne, his old running mate at Eastern Washington.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
And that's actually, let's see, what's actually going wrong in New England is they don't have a white wide receiver.
I think they do.
Do they?
They have Hunter Henry. That's close enough. I mean, he's a tight end.
They need a. That's by nature. They have a big white tight end. That's just how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's not unique.
That's normal.
Oh, we're talking the shifty possession receiver.
Yeah. I'm just trying to give the exciting whites a leg up here.
Okay. Mm. Okay. All right. And look, the Patriots are really high on Jalen Polk, the Washington wide receiver, is a rookie this past year.
Yeah.
But they do need help. They need a lot of help for Drake May. I don't know if that's going to be the route that they go, but there's a lot of teams that you can say there will be suitors for Cooper Kupp because, look, he is dynamic as a route runner, and people don't want to say that about him because he is white, and that's just the truth of it. He is a really damn good route runner. He's got good burst. He can beat you vertically, and he is smart as all get out, man. He is. That's the thing that make him and Puka Nacua so good, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, not only is Nacua a guy who's big and can block and mix it up,
he's a demon after the catch.
Dude, those guys are so damn smart that they've finding soft spots. Is like, Travis Kelce's brilliant at this too. Then in part of the freelance that Mahomes and Kelce work with, it's when they're on the same page, but they're seeing the same damn thing because they're thinking the same way. And you have to have that football intelligence and identification of, all right, every defense, their drops are a little bit different, but finding those soft spots and those guys that always get open, that's film preparation and being able to, within a couple of steps, change your route and find a soft spot. Dude, you have to be wickedly smart to do that. And that was what was so special about Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. So it'll be interesting to see where Cooper Kupp goes, you know?
But what is
hopefully
the best,
back to Wilson.
What is the best landing spot for him? Washington?
God, I think it's Denver.
Denver?
I think it's Denver.
I think it's a good fit.
I think going across the street in L.A. would be really damn good for him, too. And going and playing for the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know,
keep your house.
The frustrating part for the Rams is, though, are you going to trade him within the NFC? And I don't think you're going to deal a guy as valuable as he is to any team in the NFC, unless they are a non-factor and a non-contender. But he said it in his release, you know, the Rams are working with him to find a landing spot where he could still continue to compete for championships. So if you want to say, all right, LA wants to maximize their ability to win a championship, don't send him within your own conference. So that would eliminate the Washington Commanders. So you start looking at AFC teams and you go, Denver's probably number one.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers are up there. I don't know necessarily if he works in Pittsburgh, but they need another receiver.
Still need a quarterback.
If T. Higgins leaves, I don't think they have the money in Cincinnati to do it. But that would be a great spot for him. You know how open he would get if Jamar Chase was playing alongside him?
Good Lord. Or how, I mean, how open Jamar Chase would get if people start worrying about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be no shortage of places where you're like, yeah, that fits. He works there.
I mean, he's that good of a receiver where he fits anywhere.
And New England is in no way to win a championship anytime soon. And I think that's one of the drawbacks to, like, saying Denver is that I don't think Denver's all that close. They're closer than New England is, but they still have miles to go. So that's what makes this fascinating for Cooper Kupp and where he could end up. No longer a Los Angeles
Damn.
All right. 503-864-6326. That be the Vancouver Ford text line. Chip Kelly is now the offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Pete Carroll has continued to round out his staff. He ended up going and swooping in and grabbing Chip Kelly from Ohio State.
Hey,
oh.
Collecting former legendary Pac-12 coaches like Infinity Stones. Go Raiders.
Yeah.
What's Dennis Erickson doing these days?
Ooh, that'd be a great one to bring in. Yeah, I think him on the strip may be a little dicey, but it'd be fun.
Or exactly what they need.
Exactly what they need. Well, he could be, you know, making sure, like, he's, instead of bed check, it's the strip check. Mm. And Dennis Erickson is out there making sure no tomfoolery's happened after hours. But Chip Kelly is the second coordinator to leave Ohio State. Jim Knowles bolted for Penn State, their defensive coordinator, and he got a big pay bump to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in all of college football. Now Chip Kelly goes to Vegas, and he's getting a bag to go be the Raiders offensive coordinator, and now Ryan Day has a national championship, but no coordinators.
No coordinators figured out with, but he did get the school back a little bit of money. Chip Kelly had a buyout that was actually going to be quite a bit bigger, but because he went to the NFL,
yeah,
he had to pay significantly less. So it was supposed to be $1.5 million. He's going to end up having to pay $350,000.
Yeah, which is peanuts. The Raiders are going to pay that and gladly have their new offensive coordinator.
See you later, bye.
He's going to be one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL as well. So
the Raiders have learned because this is how they lost Kingsbury.
Chip in the NFL is interesting because his offense schematically was never the issue in Philadelphia or San Francisco.
It's the speed and pace.
No, the players quit on him because he was an overbearing madman. Checking their pee and their sleep patterns, like not allowing them to be adults. And guys are just like, no, we're out on this guy. And when you lose the NFL like that, it goes really quick. See Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Right. But schematically it worked. And you saw kind of the proliferation of the RPO really ramped up when Chip got there.
I mean, look at what the Chiefs offense is predicated on.
It's that. How the NFL operates now. And Chip is, his offense is not antiquated by any means. And the blur that he ran at Oregon, anybody that watched Ohio State saw that was not the same offense.
No.
Are there characteristics of it? Absolutely. Sure. But it has evolved. And every good play caller evolves over time. Like Andy Reid's offense has gone through like 8 different iterations since he was in Green Bay. Like that's what great play callers do. And Chip is no different. I think it's going to be wildly successful. And one thing that I love about Chip Kelly going to Vegas is Chip has always done it without the guy at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you ain't going to have the guy this year.
I mean, look at the guys he's had quarterback. Like the guys he made special at Oregon. You know, you have Mariota, but you're looking at a guy
Darren Thomas.
Yeah, but Darren Thomas. Like that's just look, and Mariota was a 3-star guy. Like it wasn't like this, you know, he finds these things that he can kind of draw out of guys. And look, Will Howard is the best quarterback I've ever seen. I mean, but he finds a way to put guys. Now, having those wide receivers certainly is helpful. I would imagine Brock Bowers is about to be unleashed upon the world in a way that he's never been with the Raiders. But like, because that's the one thing I think you always have to kind of tip your cap to Chip on is that whatever tools he has, he maximizes them.
Yep.
And it was, do you remember watching the Kelsey documentary? Jason Kelsey talked about like what he played at under Chip.
Uh-uh. Oh, yeah, I do remember
seeing
that.
He played
that.
Like 260, 270. He goes, I was super light. Like, I don't think that they're going to do anything like that anymore.
Pete Carroll runs the show.
Yes.
He runs the offense.
And not only that, Pete has always been a complimentary football guy. So they're not going to get down there and you know, crank up the pace. They're going to play slow. They're going to be defensive-oriented. But I think you're going to have a very creative offensive attack that takes advantages of what little weapons they do have.
Chip Kelly, when he was the head coach of the Eagles, okay, their offense ranked 4th in points, 2nd in total offense, 3rd in points, 5th in total offense. Dude can still call plays. And that was with Nick Foles and Mark Sanchez as his quarterbacks.
Where are they at now?
Well, yeah. And Nick Foles, Super Bowl champion Nick Foles, that is Super Bowl champ. They were still able to move the football. It was everything else that was the disaster in Philadelphia. So I think it's a good hire by the Raiders. Now it is, where do the Buckeyes go with now having to replace both of your coordinators after a national championship season? And there's already a report out there on three. And a lot of these are like reports, okay? But on three is saying that there could be, if Ohio State's looking at guys, promoting from within, wide receivers coach Brian Hartline as your offensive coordinator.
Who's an Ohio State lifer.
He's an Ohio State lifer, one of the best recruiters and developers at the wide receiver position of anybody. Just look at them. What they have. Miami Hurricanes offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson and former Oregon offensive coordinator, now head coach at Akron, Joe Moorhead, but also Will Stein, Oregon's offensive coordinator.
Oh. It's not like they haven't poached that backyard once before.
Well, yeah, they got the running backs coach just a year ago from Oregon. They made him the highest paid running backs coach in college football, and they pushed on and said, yep, we're going to go ahead and we're going to bring Coach Lachlan over. Well, I think Will Stein, the value of Will Stein at Oregon, this may be bump that pay up, make sure he gets a raise, or, Will Stein, we know the nature of the beast and how it goes. I mean, if they pay back up the Brinks truck and make him the highest paid coordinator in college football, I'm not even close. He may be the Ohio State OC. We don't know at this point, but it is a name that's been floated out there, and there's no indication that Will Stein is planning on leaving Oregon.
But with the stuff, you just don't know until you know.
And they call it reports, but this could just be somebody spitballing too, right?
Which is so often the case.
It really is often the case, because you look at who are the best play callers in college football, and who
you don't
are the
need
guys
to hire a search firm to do that.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Now, I'd love to be that search firm, though.
Oh no, it's great. Look, Bartu and those guys, they do great at this, but I think that those guys probably make their money not for the national champion. Like, I think they have a general idea of
who good guys are,
who they want. Now, if you're one of those up and coming teams, I bet you that's where you do your work. You go get that guy that's grinding somewhere.
Go get that grinder.
Get
on
all
tape.
The tape, and then those guys end up going to bigger programs.
Find the Chip Kelly when he was at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
That's what you go and do, is you try to find
exactly my point.
Something a little bit different than everybody else.
When you were Oregon and you were ascending, that's what you did. Like you go outside the box and you find the guy.
Ohio State should really dip into Army or Navy, something triple option.
Ooh. Can you imagine if they did that with those athletes, though?
Jeremiah Smith's like, come on, are you guys serious right now?
Hey, work for Calvin Johnson.
No. No, it did not.
It did.
No,
it did work for him. He was a number three overall pick.
I don't think they ran that triple option until his last year there. Is that correct? Paul Johnson?
I could have swore he had 2 years ago.
Well, then it worked for Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I could have swore that Calvin had 2 years of it.
I don't know. I can't remember that. But let's see here.
I think they should go to Wing T. It works so well at the high school level. Why wouldn't it work at Ohio State?
And now they say you run the Wing T because you don't have the athletes. What if you did it with all the athletes?
Well, Bellevue showed you. It worked for them. Why wouldn't it work at the college football
That's what
level?
Helix High School did in San Diego, with Alex Smith as their quarterback and Reggie Bush as their running back.
You imagine?
Seems like a mismatch.
Can you imagine dealing with that in a high school?
No.
That's disgusting.
No, I couldn't.
That's horrid stuff.
Yeah, wait a minute here. Paul Johnson was at Georgia Tech from 2008 through 2010.
Mm.
So, I don't know. When was Calvin Johnson there?
2006?
Calvin Johnson. Let's see here. Dude, Megatron, what a great name. He was drafted in 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think we're thinking of Demaryius Thomas.
Okay. Yeah. I just remember them having a very good wide receiver and them running that.
Yeah. Let's see. Because I feel like Calvin Johnson would be like, y'all can go to hell. I am not running
this. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And is Demaryius Thomas was drafted in 2010.
Okay, there you go.
So he played 2 years for Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech.
running that option.
Dude. So boring if you're a receiver. Like, how you just look out there and they're just standing there like, you don't even need to be out here, man. You don't need to guard me.
You want to just have call it quits. I'll tell you when I'm running a route.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll give you a thumbs up. It's go time.
That way you and me can go at each other.
Yeah.
It's fun. All right, coming up next, have you ever heard of butter hands?
Fingers.
No. But how about whole hands? We'll get to that and more here, coming up here on The Worst on the Web. First, here's Big Will Betts, the Sports Center update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
This is a hell of a headline. Man eating 6 to 9 pounds of butter and cheese a day develops cholesterol hands while on carnivore diet.
Oh, good golly, Miss Molly.
Brother. This is something I've never even heard of, but it's an actual thing that can happen. So this is the backstory. A man who's only being identified as being in his 40s told doctors that he got diet advice from the internet, which, there you go, and began following an extreme carnivore diet for 8 months.
Dude, saw this on TikTok, bro. Yeah,
good God.
Where's this man from?
It does not identify. Just says he's in his 40s.
I see it here.
Do you have it in yours? Where's he from?
We all know the answer.
Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, there you go. But for 8 months, he ate 6 to 9 pounds of butter, cheese, and hamburgers a day. He stopped eating all carbs, such as bread and sugar. Said he first felt great, lost weight, became more energetic, and had more mental clarity. But he started developing yellow lesions on his eyelids. Over the next month, they appeared on the palms of his hands, the soles of his feet, and his elbows. He looks like a butter sculpture.
That it looks like his hands. Imagine like where the palm reader goes to read your palm.
It's filled
and then
in with fat.
Every single one of like the creases of your fingers. It looks like they wedged like Cheeto
butter.
Cheese underneath his skin, and it's just like that orange is just the hue is poking out in all of those little creases of your hand. It is the grossest thing.
Yeah. It looks like he's made of butter or cheese or like what's that quick cheese in the can?
Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Doctors diagnose him with xanthelasma. It's a rare condition that impacts about 1% of patients with high cholesterol. It's yellow raised deposits of cholesterol that appear in the skin because the body cannot process it.
So now I've heard of the carnivore diet.
Yeah. Hell, I've done it.
But
I never had anything. Like, I never had any side effects.
Well, he's saying 6 to 9 pounds of butter.
Yeah, that's not the carnivore
cheese
diet.
Cheese or butter?
That's insane.
Like, now, what the carnivore diet is you eat meat. So beef, chicken, pork,
mm-hmm.
eggs, seafood,
vegetables, but you don't eat carbs.
Dairy products and water,
mm-hmm.
right?
I was told no vegetables.
I was told no vegetables.
See,
too.
I did the one where you do have some minor roughage because of
keto. Then,
but I think what this guy did,
mm-hmm.
I believe you're right. That is keto.
Well, the carnivore diet gets you into ketosis, which gets you ketones, which is what allows you to process. It's two different things.
Well, homeboy here is just like, he read, oh, dairy products, dude. And he leaned into butter and cheese. The amount that you would have to eat in order for this to happen to your body is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, I can't imagine eating, like, number one, that total amount of food.
Yeah.
6 to 9 pounds of cheese, butter, meat a day. Like, brother. Like,
now,
even at my peak
mm-hmm.
of just like, again, when in my early 20s, overseas, like working out multiple hours a day, mm-hmm. 16, 18 hours, like the stuff you can't push your body to. I was 240 pounds and I was eating anywhere around 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day and losing weight because of like, even then, that's not 6 to 9 pounds of anything. Like, that's such an obscene amount of food.
Yeah. It's not healthy.
Good God.
Don't do it.
You can't eat 6 to 9 pounds of anything and have it be good for you.
I've also heard that the carnivore diet has largely been debunked by science because the whole idea behind it is that, you know, our ancestors, all they ate was meat and they were healthy in that regard.
Which isn't true.
No.
There's a reason why it's hunter-gatherer.
Very rarely did they actually eat meat. They actually ate vegetables.
It's a lot of fruit and vegetables.
They ate leaves. Oh. They ate fruits that were around. That was basically what they ate.
Get primal, bro.
But I mean,
sup, bro? I learned that because my wife is now a vegan because we watched a documentary.
Yeah, there you go.
Which, you watched Game Changers.
Which is not off the internet.
No, but, Blue Zones.
Yeah. Oh. Not off the internet, but, you know, it's internet adjacent.
Oh, gosh. I support her in her journey. I don't participate.
No, totally fair.
Yeah.
The science behind the ketosis thing is real.
Yeah.
Like that stuff all makes sense. And it is one of the best ways to lose weight quickly.
Yeah.
Is to go very low carb. The biggest thing that everybody screws up is they don't drink enough water and they feel like crap. And they're like, oh, I can't do this because I feel like crap. I'm like, yeah, it's because you're dehydrated, brother.
Back to, I don't remember drinking water as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, we do it now.
Well, I'm trying to think of, what were the fad diets when we were young?
Jenny Craig. Jenny Craig, man.
Atkins? Yeah. No, yeah, Atkins. Was like Atkins was the first, yeah.
I mean, it was just not eating. There was, like, a sugar water diet.
Oh, God, that. There you go.
Stupid juice cleanses.
Dude, I've done one of those.
I remember you doing it last year.
You did it here, and you were not doing well.
No, it was 2 years. I think it was two years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago, yeah. I needed that cleanse, and I was not.
No, and you gave me the heads up that you were doing it.
I jumped into a five-dayer.
Yeah.
But don't do that.
Yeah, you were.
Start small, build your way up.
You were. Well, you also said you needed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had gone through quite a bit.
Did it help you at all? Did you feel better?
Yeah, I lost like 13 pounds in 5 days.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's necessarily good for you, though.
Well, when you saw my bloated face after like 2 weeks of trips and on a bender, yeah, I needed it. Believe me, everything I was doing prior to that was the unhealthy part.
Well, like, I'm pretty much carnivore now. I don't know how the Greek yogurt or like cottage cheese kind of fixes into that, but like that's pretty much all I'm eating. It's Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, a lot of chicken, a lot of turkey.
Cottage cheese literally makes me want to puke.
We used to do cottage cheese and like cheap steak, like because it was
calories and proteins.
Good,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
High in
when
protein.
You're on a budget, you go down on like was meat Tuesday at the old Albertsons. And you would do, like they.
Can I tell you something that I'm not above doing?
What?
We have a local grocery store in Newburgh.
You get a Dollar Tree steak?
Not Dollar Tree.
Don't knock it till you try it.
No. There's no amount of baking soda that can save a steak that's that bad. But if I'm cooking just for myself and I know I'm cooking that night, I will go over into the about to expire.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you will get like a singular like filet mignon or nice New York. For half the price.
Oh.
So not quite Dollar Tree, but.
All right. Hey, do you want to know some ridiculous fad diets through history?
There you go. Hit me with them.
175 BC, the cabbage and urine diet.
Is that where you drink your own urine?
Yep. It was pretty self-explanatory there as I read through it. Cato the Elder was a Roman statesman, writer, and public speaker who was a massive fan of cabbage. He not only promoted eating plenty of cabbage, but also drinking urine of people who had a high diet of cabbage, so not even your own. He believed that cabbage could cure ulcers, dysentery, warts, indigestion, and even drunkenness.
God, if you had to live during an era of kook diets, I would have much rather been in the cocaine diet than the urine diet.
Well, how about the late 1800s, the arsenic diet pills?
I'm sorry, what?
Yep.
Is the idea here that death will make you lighter?
Yeah, maybe. Miracle cures, which could speed up the metabolism. Although the amount of arsenic within the pills was very small, they were still very dangerous.
Yeah, it's arsenic.
I would say so, yeah. The tapeworm diet of the early 1900s, given a tapeworm. Yeah. That was...
How did they get it out back then?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. It was supposed to cure organ swelling, anaphylaxis... infections of the digestive system, appendicitis.
You know what?
Damaged vision, meningitis, epilepsy, dementia, or even death in severe cases would happen.
I thought you were saying it was curing those things.
Well, it did take a spin. All right. The reach for a lucky diet of 1929.
Lucky strikes?
Yep. That would be lucky strike cigarettes because nicotine suppresses your appetite.
It does.
That's why I'm so hungry.
Yeah, Yeah. Oh, how about the Sleeping Beauty diet of 1976, where people were voluntarily sedated for several days?
I mean, that sounds like fun.
Can't eat when you're sleeping.
Not against
you. Got me there, dude.
I will tell you, though, I put on like 40 pounds through each hip surgery because I was very sedated and not moving and in my bed.
Well, yeah, but you were still eating. You weren't even awake. They were just like, yeah, night-night. See you in a while.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know?
Maybe
just giving you enough to survive.
It'd be a lot cooler if we could just be sedated sometimes.
I'm going to disagree. I feel like that's been used in the past by bad people. Or governments.
Oh, come on.
Coward.
I'd like to not be sedated.
Trust your government.
Look, I'm not here for conspiracy theories. I don't want anyone sedating me.
I'm talking about voluntary sedation here.
I do not volunteer as tribute.
Get to be 40. You might change your mind.
I'm not going to voluntarily be sedated either.
No?
For several days?
I mean, well, several days is a bit much.
I got things I got to do.
Nah. I mean, there are times where I like, dude, I could really use a long nap.
Yeah, as I'm saying, you know, turn the gas up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to go that far, though. Yeah. A 20-minute power nap. Find my sweet spot.
I tell you what.
Can you imagine how groggy you would be after, like, being sedated for several days? It's like say you're sedated for three. It takes you probably another two just to be getting back to normal.
I would say, so my last hip surgery, I was sedated for almost 5 hours, which is a long time.
Yeah,
for that. Like, they don't like really going past, I think, four, but they will go further. It took me a day or two to come out of that. But then again, they gave me the fentanyl afterwards, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were getting rid of that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, they did not want me moving.
Imagine, like, going on what happened in, like, 1976? Like, could you imagine going on the sedated diet in 2001? You're like 9'8". You go in for 4 days and you come out. You're like, what happened? They're like, you don't, dude.
Your beard's down to your knees.
You're like, you have no idea.
What if someone went in like on Friday night with their Luka Doncic Mavs jersey on and they're just waking up right now?
That's right.
You might have been the one that broke the news to them.
Whoa. This really came at me.
It's 5 years later. Luka Doncic is a Laker. Wait, what? What happened?
Dude, a coma would be trippy.
Oh, God.
I also will not volunteer for that.
No. Want no part of that. Hard pass.
Idiocracy would happen if you go, like, for 100 years. Mm. That's the whole premise of idiocracy.
Smartest man alive.
That's right.
It's what plants crave.
Oh, man.
All right. You know what? We probably can't find a way to get this into the otherwise. You want to talk a little Senior Bowl?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Let's get to some Senior Bowl stuff before we get into hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty. Danny, fan.
Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Some quick news notes coming out of the Senior Bowl that are duck-centric, as both Jeffrey Bassa and Josh Connolly both received some honors coming out of the Senior Bowl weekend.
Well, yeah, they do voting at the Reese's Senior Bowl, and it is so weird. I think one thing that needs to change is they need to make it more aware of who is actually playing in the game, who's just practicing throughout the week. Because Tez Johnson, Terrence Ferguson practiced all week, didn't play. But Bassa was voted the linebacker of the week and it's voted on by, so the linebackers voted on by the running backs and the offensive linemen. And Connerly was voted the offensive lineman of the week by the defensive linemen and the linebackers. So it's a very good case in, hey, by the way, one viral video clip is not indicative of a complete body of work. Because Josh Connerly lost a rep very badly to Mike Green of Marshall. And there were people like his draft stock is falling. That could be further from the truth from what has been coming out of Mobile, Alabama, about what happened. And he was actually voted offensive lineman of the week.
Look, you get that one viral tape, it goes against you, and all of a sudden the narrative. Look,
that's what happens.
He got his butt kicked on a rep,
dude. It
happens,
bad.
And it was bad. And the guy who did the butt kicking literally walked off the field and said, "I'm out,
deuces. No more for you to see here.
You've seen the highlight reel. I'm good here.
I've done my work. I'm out. And look, Will Ortner's been a part of that. You, a guy on a rep been jumps that both. Snap, and he gets underneath you, and you just go,
it's curtains.
Oh. And you're too high.
You get tea kettled.
When you're in that wide, when that DN's in that wide nine, and you got to get out there and you got to start kicking, and you don't time your meeting point right, where you're to the meeting point, but you're not set and ready to go, that's a problem. And every O lineman,
hands were wide, back
chest
was tall,
is up, and he was, it's exposed. Every O lineman has lost that, especially when you have a smaller defensive end going against you who already has the leverage. I mean, it happens, man.
Yes.
Sometimes you get got.
Yep.
Look, it happens to the best tackles in the game. Like that's it. Look, watch TJ Watt on a given week and watch him just absolutely get under somebody's pads and push them into a quarterback.
It was
you go,
something.
Oh, okay. It's like it's one thing when you see like, it's one thing when Aaron Donald does it to you. It's like you know it's coming. He's all of 5'11", 305 pounds, and he's just got arms for days and the leverage to begin with. You know the dates you're in for.
Mm-hmm.
But even the best offensive lineman, you're going to get got every now and then.
Yeah, and so it was good weeks for both Bassa. And Bassa, like everything that, I mean, he was one of the, touted as one of the winners throughout the course of the week.
Because he's a bit of a tweener.
All of the draft analysts. He's a guy that can cover in space. He'll be like a third down linebacker. But he'll make his money on special teams and being his leadership role.
He's a high leverage athlete guy.
And he is a, he's a guy that is not afraid to speak his voice. He has found his voice as a leader. He's really good at it. Dylan Gabriel had an okay week. I mean,
none of the quarterbacks really came out of the game shining, but nobody, well.
There's a lot of fake love for guys out of that.
Dude, Jalen Milroe had some.
He had some bad ones, but then other people are like, hey, made the throws. It's like, they're all going to polish the quarterbacks. You never know. The measurements weren't good for Dylan, but when he actually played in the game, he looked
fine,
comfortable and under command. I actually watched the Senior Bowl because I was bored.
That'll happen.
I had nothing to do. I had nothing to do on a Saturday.
You liked it, didn't you?
It was comforting.
There you go.
Yeah, it was comforting.
When was the last time you had nothing to do on a Saturday?
A long time.
I was going to say, like,
long time.
Was it perhaps like March?
August. It was August. It's been a while. Yeah. But overall, it was good. And now, like, there's a lot of buzz. Matt Miller of ESPN, he pushed Terrence Ferguson up into a second round, like a day two projection. So, look, a lot of good can come from the Senior Bowl. And that's a really cool thing. The Senior Bowl actually means something. Guys are going to it, whether they're playing or not. That is good to see that avenue is there.
And speaking of drafts coming up after the Super Bowl, we'll start diving into mock draft season. I can't believe that's already here. But coming up next, let's look back over to the NBA and what the Trailblazers have done over the last 2 weeks and kind of what to look forward to over the next less than 48 hours as the NBA trade deadline is rapidly approaching. Danny and Dusty, 10 in the Fan.